Not too long ago, my wife and I saw a documentary called Going Clear, and it's powerful if you have a chance to see it. It's an inside look at Scientology, and what they show you is not very pretty. But Scientology is going to illustrate something that I wanted to cover later about judging religions. People say, oh, you can't judge a religion. Well, I say you can. A lot of people believe you can. So we're going to take a look at that a little bit later. Let's uncover what Scientology is, first of all, who's behind it, and some of the key beliefs and all. So, is it a religion? Well, yeah, I think it does qualify as a religion. It has its own scripture. It's L. Ron Hubbard's works. Dianetics was his first book, and then followed by Scientology. And what's interesting is Hubbard himself said the Hindu Veda. A great deal of our material in Scientology is discovered right back there. You're studying an extension of the work of Buddha. And that should tell you something. So it's got a little bit of, it's got a lot of Eastern religion. It's got a New Age quality to it. But it does have its own scripture. It does have its own worldview, no doubt about it. We'll talk about that in a bit. And it seeks spiritual enlightenment. It focuses on spiritual aspects of life. So, and it tries to answer the big questions that every worldview does. How do we get here? What's our problem? How do we overcome our problem? So, yeah, it is a religion, as strange as it appears, but it is. Let's talk about the founder a little bit, L. Ron Hubbard. This is right up my alley because I've taught science fiction, and Hubbard was a science fiction author. Wrote a lot of pulp, what they call pulp fiction, meaning kind of cheesy characters, tough men and clinging women and spaceships and bug-eyed monsters and that kind of stuff. That was part of the pulp fiction era. So he was a science fiction writer in the 30s and 40s. And he supposedly said one time, if a man really wanted to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion. Well, he certainly did that. He had all sorts of exaggerated claims about himself, about the degrees he had earned, medical reports that he said were true about him, about his travels. Speaking of things that he had claimed about himself, his second wife sued for divorce because he was still married to his first wife. He was involved in occult groups, ended his life trying to stay away from the United States and any tax problems by being out in the ocean. His son, which I find really sad and eye-opening, said, better than 90% of what my father has written about himself is untrue. And the U.S. Navy released a fitness report back in the 1940s about Hubbard, said this, consider this officer lacking in the essential qualities of judgment, leadership, and cooperation. He acts without forethought as to probable results. Not considered qualified for command or promotion at this time. Recommend duty on a large vessel where he can be properly supervised. That came out in the 40s. Let's move along in his life. So, Dianetics, his first big book, came out in 1950. And we'll talk a little bit more about the beliefs of it in just a minute. Hubbard in 1950 said this, let's sell these people a piece of blue sky. So that gives you an idea of how he saw this, how cynical he was, and how he's going to promote this. Scientology came out 4 or 5 years later, I don't remember exactly when, 1954 or 55. So let's take a look at what he's got to say. What are the foundational beliefs behind Scientology? Well, it started with the basics of Dianetics. Now, so here's what Dianetics believed in. The people are basically good, and they want to avoid pain and gain pleasure to survive. But we've got problems. Remember we talked about every worldview has to deal with problems? Well, here are the problems, according to Hubbard, that all of us have these things called engrams in us, and these are detailed mental images or memories of some traumatic event that we may not even be conscious of. So here's an example. Let's say years ago you played baseball and a pitcher was really wild and threw and hit you in the head and knocked you down. And somebody yelled at the pitcher at that time, you're no good, to the pitcher. So there you are, you're lying on the ground, you're not really aware of it, but you're taking in the smells of the grass, you're feeling the sweat on your body, your head is killing you. And then years later, and again, unconsciously all this is going to happen, years later, you might be watching baseball and you get a headache for no reason. Well, there is a reason. It's because of those engrams that have been psychologically imprinted on you. Or maybe you start thinking, I'm no good. So you took that phrase, no good, and you applied it to yourself. So you can see how these things would be negative, according to Dianetics. So you got these engrams in you, these mental picture images. And what's the solution then? That's our problem. What's our solution to the problem? We've got to get rid of the engrams. We've got to become what he called clear. And there's a little difference between Dianetics and Scientology. They both talked about engrams, but for Dianetics, the engrams were just strictly things that happened to you in this life, whereas in Scientology, the engrams came from past lives. Yes, Scientology got into reincarnation. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, Eastern religions again. So the goal was to become clear, and if you had enough people becoming clear, the human race was moving toward the next stage of mankind. So there's an evolution that's going on as well. Well, how do you get clear? How do you get rid of these bad engrams? You have to be audited. And you have somebody that takes, who's a skilled person in Dianetics, and they come alongside you and they hook you up to an E-meter. Basically, it's just measuring electric current. And they start asking you questions and they start to probe and begin to find out what these engrams are. Now, Dianetics, that's the basic concept of Dianetics. How are medical professionals seeing this? Well, let's start with the American Psychiatric Association. What does it say about Dianetics? The claims are not supported by empirical evidence. How about this? The editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, they call Dianetics a mind-healing cult. How about a psychologist, Eric Fromm? He said that this is full of absurdities. I got to tell a little story here because I find this interesting and amusing. Hubbard worked and worked to get people to be clear, to get rid of those engrams. And finally, in 1950, he rented the Shrine Auditorium in L.A. 4,000 people came because he trumpeted to the four winds that he had his first clear. And it was a physics student from Boston. So he announced that this person now had gotten rid of all these engrams, had perfect recall, could remember every moment of life. Well, he made a mistake. He allowed her to be questioned. Here's the problem. She couldn't remember basic physics formulas, couldn't remember the color of Hubbard's necktie when he was right there. And people thought that was a hoot, and they laughed and left. So that didn't go over very big. Well, Hubbard had the last laugh because 1954, I think it was, Scientology came along, his book, and it's quite a moneymaker. It's amazing. It costs now, I got a sheet off the internet, and this is probably out of date, but it's some of the costs associated. Yeah, this is like a 10-year-old sheet, and I couldn't find anything more modern than that, but what it costs you to be audited. Remember, these are not people that are helping you out of the kindness of their hearts. This is not like church counseling today where people for free will sit down with you and try to help you get through tough times. This is a money-making process, and so every step along the way costs you something. $2,000 here, $3,000 there, $5,000 somewhere else. So you have all these steps, and of course the more steps you have, the more money you're going to have to pay. So if you want to get clear, you want to get rid of those engrams, the estimate is something like, and remember this is 10 years ago, something like $128,000. Wow. Now, that's not the end. You're supposed to then move into what's called operating thetan, T-H-E-T-A-N. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But you now had to go through the levels so that you could become a thetan that was the highest degree possible. And to do that, it was going to cost you something like $200,000. Now, I think that's totaling it from being a clear. So it's going to cost you more than $250,000 estimated if you want to make it all the way to OT, which is operating thetan 8, level 8. So is that fairly expensive? Yeah, pretty expensive. There was a judge in Los Angeles said this, the court record is replete with evidence that Scientology is nothing in reality but a vast enterprise to extract the maximum amount of money by pseudo-scientific theories. Well, it does extract a lot of money, and no psychologist really backs up this engram business. And by the way, the church pays its members commissions, something like 10%, for any new recruit they bring in who will take a course, an auditing course, or get some counseling. Plus, the Church of Scientology, the main church, gets money from these franchises as they pop up in different cities. So this is no different than Carl's Jr. or McDonald's or anything like that, Pizza Hut. You pay, you get to set up your own Scientology headquarters, and then you funnel some of your profits back to the main church. This is interesting. The U.S. Department of Justice was investigating. It said the church's most extensive and significant activities are directed toward the earnings of substantial fees. Wow. Now, I mentioned Thetan before, didn't I? So let's talk about this, because this is a big part of his Scientology. And here's where his science fiction background comes in. Okay, so this is the story. Remember, every worldview has a story of creation. So how did everything come about? Well, here's Hubbard's story. In the past, the far, far distant past, billions and billions of years ago, Thetans, these spiritual beings, brought the material universe into being pretty much for their own pleasure. And the universe really didn't have any independent reality, but it's just that the Thetans agree that it exists. That starts sounding like Hinduism with Maya, the world being an illusion. Now, Thetans fell from grace when they began to identify with their creation. They were supposed to be spiritually pure, but they started connecting with this physical reality. And eventually, they lost track of who they really were, and they lost their spiritual and creative powers, and they began to think of themselves as just embodied beings. So they began to be more fleshly. And so can you see what's going on here? His message is going to be, we all have Thetans in us. And again, the spelling is T-H-E-T-A-N. And we have to wake that Thetan up in us. We have to realize that God is within. This supernatural, powerful being is within us. Now, does that sound familiar? It should. That sounds New Age. It sounds Eastern religious. Frankly, it sounds like the transcendentalists in American history. I was a literature major, and this sounds like Emerson and Thoreau. Their message was, wake up, God's within. You don't need to worry about evil and sin and punishment and the Christian God outside. You have God within. That's powerful, isn't it? People love that message. Oh, I've got God within me. It's all about me. Let me finish the story about the Thetans. So, when a person dies, that means that Thetan is abandoning its physical body. They go to a landing station on the planet Venus. There's the science fiction, where the Thetan is told lies about its past life and its next life. Venusians take the Thetan, they capsule it somehow, and send it back to Earth to be dumped in the ocean off the coast of California. Now here's what Hubbard says. If you can get out of that capsule and wander around through the cities and find some girl who looks like she's going to get married or have a baby or something like that, you're all set. And if you can find the maternity ward to a hospital or something, you're okay. And you just eventually pick up a baby. Well, that's his view of reincarnation. That Thetan comes out of a body that's dying, goes to Venus, comes back, finds another body, and here we go again. Well, since we're talking Scientology, it doesn't hurt to hear some stories about the founder and the leading members. In 1977, 11 of the top Scientologists were indicted for stealing some classified information, including Hubbard's wife. They plea bargained it down. 5 of them got 5-year prison sentences. So this is the inner circle. Their scripture, as I said, is part Hindu, part Buddhist. They believe truth is subjective. Hubbard said this, what's true for you is what you've observed yourself. Goodness and badness are alike considerations that have no other basis than opinions. Isn't that powerful? Goodness and badness have no other basis than opinion. If you think it's bad, then it's bad. If you think it's good, it's okay. So guess who gets to decide? You do. That's subjective. That's not objective. So I always think, why don't we, if we're talking to a Scientologist, why don't we say, so you don't really like what Hitler did, but what he did was not objectively wrong? It's just personal feeling, personal opinion? What about torturing a baby for fun. That's not really wrong. That's just however you feel about it. If somebody feels it's okay, then it's okay. That doesn't make any sense. What's the Scientology God? That's you. It's a polytheistic universe. He said there are gods above other gods and gods beyond the gods of the universes. Wow. You know what that sounds like to me? That's an echo of Mormonism, isn't it? As many gods as you can imagine. Which, again, gives you great hope. You will be one someday. People are basically good. They are God. They need to evolve, and they can. And there's reincarnation. What do they think about Jesus? Well, Hubbard doesn't have a real high view of Jesus. He said neither Lord Buddha nor Jesus Christ were OT. They weren't operating thetans. Maybe they got to clear. He says they were just a shade above clear. So that's minimal. I mean, that's not bad, but that's not what you need to be. You need to be an operating thetan, and they just didn't make it. Of course, he puts Jesus right alongside Buddha. Now, why am I spending so much time on this belief? It is odd. It seems like we shouldn't bother to waste our time. But I want you to consider, as we close here, we're looking at ways to judge religions. People say, oh, you can't judge religions. Nonsense. Of course you can. People say, oh, who's to say? Let's not be judgmental. Well, really? I think I would line up Christianity anytime alongside Scientology, and I'm going to pick Christianity. I've got a talk on ways to test religions. Can we test religions? And of course, you're always welcome to go to my website, apologeticsforlife.org. You're certainly welcome to contact me, Gary, at apologeticsforlife.org, and I'll answer some questions, or you can take a look at my talk on can we test religions. But let's just go through it real quickly. There are four ways to test religions. Here's one. We look for factual evidence. So we look at the sciences, or we look at the history of the religion, or we look at its founder. And you tell me. Let's start with factual evidence for thetans. Zero. Factual evidence that reincarnation is true. Zero. How about their founder? You want to match up L. Ron Hubbard with Jesus Christ? Okay, that one's a gimme. What about the history of the religion? People being indicted? L. Ron Hubbard? Well, anyway, so I've told you his story, but that doesn't do real well for Scientology, does it? So there's number one. One way to test religion, factual evidence. It's pretty grim when it comes to Scientology. How about number two? It's got to be logically consistent. It should indicate a problem and a solution to our condition, how we got in that condition. And he's going to say it's the things that happened to you along the way that turned you crooked a little bit. But we know people are just awful down deep. They don't need to have engrams and have problems that way. What about ethics and human nature? Here's a third way to evaluate religions. What is Scientology focused on? You. It's all about you. It's all about you gaining what you can. It's all about pulling a lot of money out of people. There's not much in Scientology on human dignity or worth. There's certainly nothing about the problem of evil and suffering. We just have to wake up, he says. What about guilt? They're not going to deal with guilt. What about a basis for ethical behavior? Forget ethics. You're just trying to improve yourself. So I think Christianity wins out in that area. Here's a fourth area. So number one, we look at factual evidence. Number two, we look to see how logically consistent it is. We look at ethics and human nature for number three. How about number four? The satisfaction you can get from living out that religion. Well, how about Christianity? Does it offer satisfaction? Yes. It takes away our guilt. Gives us a sense of awe, and we consider Jesus and God, the universe. It allows us to face evil and suffering. And I'll line that up against Scientology any day. There's very little there that's going to match up well with Christianity, especially facing evil. They've got nothing going for them in that area. How about experiences? Christians have witnessed miracles. They've had answers to prayer. They've had their life change. Now, I'll grant you, I'm sure there are some people who have changed in a very positive way because of Scientology. I don't doubt that. You can certainly clear yourself away from maybe some past terrible events. But to take a look at that movie, Going Clear, and see how that's worked out as far as experiences for some of those people. And then finally, still under number four, satisfaction and living it out, Christianity unites ethics and our longings and our values with facts and sciences. So it's part head and it's part heart. It does both things. I don't think Scientology matches up very well at all. So the next time you see Tom Cruise on television or whoever it is talking about the wonders of Scientology, you look at the name science. Sounds like science is in there. Scientology. Just keep in mind, this is a redone, rewrapped version of an ancient New Age set of beliefs, an ancient Hindu set of beliefs, and I think it goes all the way back to Genesis. After all, Satan says, God's keeping you from that fruit because he's afraid you'll be like he is. Oh, that's really appealing to human nature. Ah, I can be like God. And that's the appeal. That's what Scientology tells you. You can clear yourself of all your problems. You can become as the gods. So keep in mind some of these things if you hear about Scientology or you encounter somebody who's following that belief.